rocking bicycle that built for two. We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna make a scene, baby, me and you, on my rocking bicycle that built for two. We don't care, we don't mind. If we don't be in front, we'll be right behind. We don't care if they laugh at us. Let them take the bus and leave the sickle for us. They can have a Cadillac and G, but two. But give me my rocking bicycle for two. Ain't got a Cadillac or a big automobile. I'm just a little guy, not a big time wheel. But I can prove my love is true on my rocking bicycle that's built for two. We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna make the scene, baby, me and you, on my rocking bicycle that's built for two. We don't care, we don't mind. If we don't be in front, we'll be right behind. We don't care if they laugh at us. Let them take the bus and give the sickle to us. They can have the Cadillac and T-Bud-Chew, but give me my rocking bicycle for two.
This is The Bike Show. My name's Jack Thurston, and I can barely contain my excitement because tomorrow is the first birthday of The Bike Show on Resonance FM. We've been going for a year in the regular slots, and it's just too good to be true. Anyway, most of us who ride our bikes do it to get from one place to another, or to have some fun, or if you listen to Resonance, to have a kind of transcendental experience. But there are more and more people for whom riding a bike is just another part of their job. Postmen and bike messengers have been around for a long time now, and there's all kinds of other people using their bikes for making deliveries. The other day I saw a branch of Domino's Pizza who just added a fleet of bikes to their normal delivery scooters. And there are companies delivering sandwiches by bike, and I've even seen a company that rents out video projectors and delivers them using bikes and great big trailers. Bicycle rickshaws have taken off a big way in London in the last 5 years too. But if you're a regular cyclist in the West End, you'll also have seen, without any doubt, the green and high visibility yellow of the London Ambulance Service's bicycle paramedics. There's a team of, I think, about half a dozen to 10 bicycle paramedics, and I spoke to one of them to ask him a little bit more about the work that they do.
We sort of cover sort of Soho and Covent Garden. It's 5.5 square miles. There's a team of eight. We split it up into 8 months. We only do it for 8 months of the year. Most team of four will only work for 4 months. So you'll have a little bit of spring, summer, autumn.
And what was the thinking behind getting you on the bikes?
Basically, to get to the sickest quickest is the quo. It's high sort of like density of population. It's pedestrianised, so it's very difficult for ambulances to get to casualties, heart attacks, etc. So we can cut through the traffic quicker, arrive there quicker at the patient's side and treat them, and if necessary, cancel the ambulance.
What kind of kit do you carry on your bikes?
All the paramedic paraphernalia, intubation, infusion, all the cardiac drugs, defibrillator, oxygen. All the things that any ambulance would carry, but really we just carry it in the back of panniers at the back of the bike. If we need help, we can call for backup for a frontline vehicle. Or if not, if it's a minor injury, when we finally get there, we can treat and refer to either a walking centre or their own GP.
How safe is cycling in London from a paramedic's perspective?
I think for mileage travelled, it's still the most safest form of transportation. We do hear about the horror stories, we do hear about cyclists being killed, which are all tragic in their own right, but it's still the quickest way of getting around London.
Well, bike paramedics are just one of the people who you'll see around London who are being paid to ride their bikes. And famously, they are not the only public servants who are on their bikes. Dixon of Dock Green is the enduring emblem of the friendly bicycling bobby, and the tradition of bicycling policemen and women has recently been revived. To find out a bit more about it, Kieran Yates went to meet with Sergeant Robert Bliss of the City of London Police's bicycle squad. He started by asking where the idea to get policemen back on their bikes had come from.
There's one officer, which is PC Mark Cockrum, who had the idea some 3 years ago, perhaps 3.5 years ago, and suggested it to the force management, that a cycle patrol team was set up using modern equipment, modern bicycles, to effectively patrol the streets of the City of London. It's an idea that's really probably been imported from North America, where it's been popular for longer. I think cities like Seattle and Miami have had them for a considerable amount of time. Police officers on mountain bikes, modern mountain bikes, patrolling the streets. It's proved a very, very effective tool.
How has it been most effectively used in the City of London?
Because of the nature of the area we police, where the streets are very crowded, especially during the working week and working day, often a bicycle can get around very, very quickly. It's cut down our response times, response to incidents, so also things like offences in progress, road traffic accidents, just people collapsing in the streets. An officer can get there very quickly, and it's proved a very, very useful tool.
When I spoke to you on the phone initially, you said that it's seen as one of the better jobs for police in uniform. Is that right?
Yes, yeah, certainly for police officers in uniform. It is popular. It's quite competitive to get a post. I myself had to apply twice before I was accepted. And it is very, very popular. It's not least perhaps because we don't work nights or weekends in the main. No, it's a very, very effective tool. Police officers enjoy it very much, those who do it.
Do you maintain a certain level of fitness?
Yes. There's no initial fitness test to apply. However, there's a 5-day intensive course which does require a great deal of fitness that the officer has to pass. That's a strict pass or fail training session or training course.
What kind of things do you do on the training course?
Again, this was Mark Cockrum who was actually trained by American police officers. There's something called the International IPIMBA, which is the International Police Mountain Bike Association, and he's taken their course and used it in a UK context and developed that and actually trained officers from other forces. There's ability, skills and abilities, agility, cycling strength, cycling in public order context where we police demonstrations and the like. It is very intensive. There's also off-road cycling, which we do up in Epping Forest in Essex. So it is fairly intense.
So you develop quite a few skills in terms of bike handling when you're doing the training?
Certainly, yes. I've done things since then I would never dream of doing. We can cycle up and down steps, which is applicable. I mean, often if we're chasing someone, they'll run down alleyways, down steps, and an officer on a bicycle can follow them, which obviously a car can't.
Yes.
So the officers are highly skilled. We make sure they have 4 training sessions during the course of the year to maintain those skills, and they are very well trained.
Right, and you aren't just fair weather cyclists, you're out all year round, you don't stop for the winter then?
Yes, no, we certainly cycle for 12 months. We have good equipment, or good clothing, so it is reasonably waterproof, although water will always get in. And this time of year, obviously, it does still get cold and damp. And people say to us, other officers say to us, oh, it must be getting cold out there. But we are well-dressed, and the job has invested in appropriate cycle clothing. And as long as you keep moving around, you don't feel that bad. Yeah. Too bad, actually.
And do you feel that doing the cycling every day, you maintain a good level of fitness anyway, because you're out there. Do you know how many miles you do in a day?
We don't actually log the miles. It can all depend on what you get involved. I mean, you could leave the station and have a rest at somewhere within 10 minutes, and you're back in probably doing paperwork and into it for the rest of the day. So it does vary. I mean, officers, if you do demonstrations, which is becoming more and more popular for ourselves and the Metropolitan Police to assign officers and bikes to demonstrations, we can cycle many miles in a day. Back in September, we did a demonstration where I think we cycled something like 35 miles.
Really? And why are bikes seen as being a good way of policing demonstrations?
There's a popular trend in the world demonstrating to move on to bicycles.
Right, yeah.
There's a monthly demonstration in London called CHARM, which cyclists have a right to move, mm-hmm. also known as critical mass, where the demonstrators are all on cycles. So we're the appropriate people to police that. There's another demonstration coming up later in about a month's time where it will be a campaign to climate change where, again, the demonstrators will be on bicycles and we can ride a considerable amount, considerable distance, and we will be assisting them.
From what I read, it seems as though the demonstrators and the police, they seem to have a good repartee and a good interaction with one another. There doesn't seem to be a great deal of animosity from the demonstrators towards the police. And I think that sometimes in other instances that could be much more the case. Do you think that's true?
Certainly. And it probably comes back to the fact that a police officer on a bicycle is more approachable. I mean, it might be seen as an old-fashioned thing, perhaps, and historically it was. But you're far more in touch with the public than you are if you're shut away in a car with the windows wound up. Mm-hmm. As the officers who are on the cycle squad are keen cyclists, all of them, and people who demonstrate on bicycles tend to be keen cyclists as well. There is an affinity, and we even compare notes about machines and their technicians. And we take an interest in them, so it is all genuinely fairly good-natured.
Good.
And of course,
good.
We have to respect people's rights to peacefully protest, and we're here to assist and facilitate that.
Okay, well, let's have a look at a bit of the kit then that you use. First of all, looking at your clothing, you're not sort of dressed up in skin-tight lycra, or you're not in fashionable courier wear. So do you want to describe what you're actually wearing?
We don't wear lycra. I don't know how proper that would be for a police officer. You have to draw a balance between the practicality of cycling and perhaps maintaining some form of authority and dignity. The shoes I'm wearing are a pair of cycle-specific Nike shoes, which we've tried several pairs, but these are the most effective for both for standing around in and cycling all day. I'm wearing a pair of Altura cycle trousers, Endura top, which is very warm, also waterproof. Also, I'm wearing a personal protective vest, which people might know as a stab-proof vest.
Right.
That's high visibility in a bright yellow colour.
Yeah.
Clearly marked as a police officer. Some people are aware I'm a police officer. And on that, I carry various things like radio, batons, CS gas, pens, ticket books, which is quite important. We also have when we ride, we always wear a helmet, a cycle helmet, which again is marked with police insignia. We always wear glasses for eye protection, clear or shaded, and we always wear gloves as well.
Right.
It's part of our health and safety assessment that we do that. So we like to think, in a way, we are role models for cyclists in what they should really be wearing for their own safety.
Okay. And a moment ago, you allowed me to pick up one of the police bikes over there, and it's not a light machine.
No.
You've got I take it, the big blank brick on the front is your blue flashing light.
That's right, and siren as well.
Right, and siren. I've actually seen this in action, the blue flashing light, going down Moorgate, and I saw two police officers going down Moorgate with the blue flashing light going. They were after a car, and it was effective because the car stopped.
Right.
Do you stop many cars on your bike?
We're a police officer in uniform, and we can and do stop vehicles on provisions of Road Traffic Act. Yes, we do. It's not all stopping by dealing with cyclists. It is dealing with vehicles as well. I mean, there are issues that perhaps a person in a vehicle might not necessarily expect a police officer to be on a bicycle, and they might not be familiar with how we look. But the blue light is very effective. It is very bright, and as soon as people hear the siren and the blue light, they do realise that perhaps they ought to stop.
Right. On the back of the bike, you've got a carrier. And what do you hold in the carrier?
I'm not prescriptive in what the officers should carry. It's down to them, really. But they'll carry things like paperwork, report books, tools for their bicycles, a drinks bottle, perhaps a high-energy snack if they're going to be out all day. We also carry, although we only have one here at the moment, a automatic defibrillator machine, also known as a defib. And all the officers are trained in the use of that. So if a person collapses in the street, a heart attack is suspected, We can get there very quickly. On many occasions, we've beaten the London Ambulance Service to the scene. So we'd like to think that in that way we are providing a useful service, not just stopping cyclists and giving them tickets.
Right. So the bikes themselves, they're specifically made for the police, are they? Or are they customised in terms of what they...
they're customised. We use three types of machines. We use Giants, Specialised Cycles, as well as Santa Cruz brand. And they've all been supplied through specialist suppliers, taken from the original manufacturers and done to our specifications. So there's very high quality brakes, shock absorbers, and of course the police insignia on each bicycle will have at least three places where police is written, as well as the blue lights and the rear panniers.
Yeah. Cyclists I speak to perhaps have a perception that the police cycling teams are there just to police cyclists in the city.
If I've learned one thing in living into policing, it's that each sector of road users believe they're getting the raw deal and it's all the fault of the other sectors. If you speak to taxi drivers, it will be post office vans, cyclists are getting in their way, they're not obeying the rules of the roads. Equally with cyclists, a lot of them are, and we do speak to a lot of them are aggrieved about the way that drivers of vehicles behave on the road, and I completely agree, but that's why the provisions of the Road Traffic Act are there and the Highway Code are there to ensure a standard. If persons fall short of that standard, be they cyclists, taxi drivers, bus drivers, and they are stopped by police, I think it's appropriate they should be dealt with in the appropriate way. Cyclists should be aware that there are various offences they can commit on a cycle. In terms of fixed penalty notice issue, the maximum fine they get is £30, which is a standard fine if they're stopped and the police officer decides to prosecute them. That will be going through a red light or riding on the pavement, various offences like that. There are, of course, if they are taken to court for dangerous cycling, which is only in extreme cases, there are higher fines applicable. But, of course, road users... vehicle drivers are more likely to have higher penalties. If a taxi driver goes through a red light, he's fined £60 and gets free penalty points.
Right.
So each of my officers are cyclists in their home life. Many of them cycle to work. And so they are on the side of cyclists, if you like.
Do you feel that through having police cycling teams, you're able to communicate with other officers the concerns of cyclists and the experience of being a cyclist on the road, and perhaps help other officers to understand why cyclists perhaps do some of the things they do?
Yes, very much so. And I think in fairness, it probably should be noted that very few officers other than the cycle teams are issuing fixed penalty notices to cyclists. Officers on foot patrol or in vehicles have probably got other roles to perform. But we do certainly fly the flag for cyclists, be it police officers or civilian cyclists.
Right. If you were supreme ruler of a benign police state, what three things would you do to improve conditions for cyclists?
For cyclists, three things. Very good introduction of late has been the box ahead of a junction, which is supposedly only for cyclists. This has come in the last perhaps three or four years.
How well policed do you feel those boxes are?
Not very well policed at all. It would be fairly harsh to give a £60 fine, which is effectively what the penalty is for a taxi driver, say, who's gone a few yards or a few feet over the line. But that is the effective penalty, and we do it. But usually a warning suffices. One of the things I would do if I was the supreme leader of the said benign police state would be to make sure they're enforced and also add more of those to other junctions. And perhaps also might be worth considering having a motorcycle bay as well, or motorcycle box behind the cycle box before the vehicle box, so that all road users do have their space on the road.
Right.
That's one thing. You've caught me right, someone on the hopper there. One very important thing, I suppose, would be secure cycle parking provision. How that would come about is difficult to say. The local authority here, the City of London, have provided many cycle bays, with secure posts or bars to secure cycles too. But that still comes down to the quality of the lock that the individual can put on it. And any lock, really, in extreme, can be damaged by a determined cycle thief. So secure indoor parking, how that would be brought about, is perhaps a genuine benign dictator, but perhaps the way forward there would be for companies to provide more cycle space, secure cycle space within their premises. That's two things. A third thing, I think I'd instruct the weather not to rain on cyclists.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the bees. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the bees. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the bees. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the bees.
Well, that was Kieran Yates interviewing Sergeant Robert Bliss of the City of London's police's bicycle team, and really good to hear so many enlightened views coming from the City of London, particularly after the coverage that they got of their bicycle crackdown in September that we talked about a little while ago on the show. Well, if your job requires you to ride a bike, or if you've managed to find an ingenious way of incorporating riding a bike into your daily work and being more productive, please get in touch. We'd love to hear about it and come out and meet you. Find out how cycling makes your working day better and more productive. You can email The Bike Show by sending an email to bikeshow@gmail.com. That's bikeshow@gmail.com. Or you can post messages on The Bike Show blog, which is www.bikeshow.blogspot.com, and all of those addresses are reachable from the Resonance FM website, which is www.resonancefm.com. And at this point, I just wanted to say a big hello to all the listeners to The Bike Show in Halifax, Nova Scotia. It was an enormous surprise and pleasure to hear that the radio station out there, CKDU, has decided to syndicate The Bike Show at the Plum spot of 4:30 a.m. on Tuesday mornings. And apparently we come on air after Radio Goethe and before the Lost Discs radio show. So to everybody out there in Nova Scotia, and apparently there's quite a lot of cyclists, I'd say hello. I mean, there are so many people listening to the show around the world via podcast, via streaming audio, by tuning into the Resonance website. I think more than maybe 25 countries all in all, and receiving a lot of emails from people. So keep staying in touch. Let us know what you think we should be covering, and if there's anything interesting going on in your part of the world that ought to have some airtime on The Bike Show on Resonance FM as we head into our second year. And at this point, I want to make a little dedication to one of the most loyal listeners to The Bike Show, who is currently in the village of Einsiedeln on the small island of Gozo, which is part of Malta in the southern half of the Mediterranean. And this goes out to you. Thanks very much for listening and everything else.
J'étais fatigué, je vois une espèce de ferme, je me dis je vais m'arrêter. J'ai dit hé hé là-dedans, y a-t-il quelqu'un de vivant? Je me sentais vraiment seul devant la maison. Quand soudain devant moi, un grand gaillard de fermier vient me braquer son canon à la hauteur du menton. Mais vous êtes fous, moi j'aime bien les fermiers, ne me tuez pas s'il vous plaît. Il s'en est fallu de rien qu'ils ne me tirent comme un lapin. C'est vous l'espèce de vagabond qui vient pour mendier. J'ai dit non, 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 je ne suis pas ce que vous croyez. En droit je suis licencié, j'ai fait l'université. Alors arriva la fille qui s'appelait Rita,
froid, sorti de la Dolce Vita. Et je me mis en devoir de l'amadouer comme son père. Je lui dis la jolie ferme que vous avez là. Dites-moi qu'est-ce qu'un étudiant connaît à l'agriculture. J'ai répondu brave Jean, je suis un puits de culture. Yeah. Salé, il sait que je travaillais. Il me dit d'un air futé, vous avez l'air fatigué. Oh oui, j'ai fait 800 bornes et j'en ai vraiment plein d'eau. Il me jeta sur la paille avec les bestiaux. Tâchez de rester tranquille ou sinon moi je me fâche. Ne touchez pas à ma fille et demain faut traire les vaches. Bien. Je ne dormais que d'un œil quand Rita vint me secouer. Comme Tony Perkins, elle me dit viens prendre une douche, je vais te montrer où c'est. J'ai répondu hé hé hé, est-ce que là on me l'a déjà fait. J'essayais de me défiler, je ne savais pas trop comment, mais Rita insistait vraiment très très gentiment. Yeah. Je ne pouvais plus mentir et j'avais l'air d'un lâche. J'aurais pas dû accepter d'aller demain traire les vaches. Pour sortir de cette histoire, fallait trouver un moyen. J'ai crié Fidel Castro, c'est un bon copain. Rita pas vu suffoquer, j'ai cru que c'était gagné. Quand le fermier soudain surgit en hurlant, qu'est-ce que t'as dit. J'ai dit vive Fidel Castro, vous m'avez compris. Il me tomba sur le dos à la raccourci. Rita parla de sa mère qui dormait au cimetière, tandis que le vieux me flanquait un coup dans le buffet. En enfer je t'expédie, si tu ne t'en vas pas tout de suite. Espèce d'étudiant pourri, espèce de rat communiste. Yeah. J'éclatais par la fenêtre à 180 à l'heure et j'atterris en tempête dans un pot de fleurs. Revenez, criait Rita, le père chargeait son engin. Quand le soleil se leva, moi j'étais déjà très loin. Yeah. Même si Rita est partie, je ne reviendrai pas si tôt. J'ai ce vieux fermier maudit car j'ai trouvé un boulot. Sacré vieille canaille, espère bien me faire cueillir un jour par son FBI, mais il peut courir. Je continue à penser envers et contre tout, sans lui